that you need and desire from us, help us to give that to you this morning, God, with no reservations, no holding back, God. Father, let it rise up and bring you the glory that you're due, the honor that you're due, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord of all. pastor spoke about him being our source. And that's it. I mean, he's our cornerstone. You can't build a building unless you have that strength in that corner, that perfect angle. Praise you, Lord. At your name, the mountain shakes. Breaks in glory.
I know we've sang this song quite a few times, and God's really been putting upon my heart, I would say this last month or so, about how He completed it. And this song kind of just illustrates that perfectly. How He completed the works in our life. The same Spirit that Christ had is activated and lives in us. Amen? And He never fails us. He never leaves us, right? And I remember Pastor Darren, some years back, had illustrated how Christ did many functions. He did many things for us. But one of the things that Pastor Darren, had said that he had accomplished was, we know that He went to the cross. We know that. We know that He went to the cross for our sins to prove His great love for us. But what God has been really illustrating to me this last month is, during the time that He was on the cross, He endured the sins of the world, but at the same time, He felt what we felt. So He felt the same pains that we would feel if we were tortured and we were whipped and we were hung on a tree. And He could have came down from that cross at any given moment. Right? The same Christ that did the miracles, He did the signs, raising of the dead, healing of the blind, feeding of the thousand. He had the power to come off that cross any given time. He could have said, you know what, I give up. I can't take it anymore. And none of us could endure exactly what He went through, because no man went through what He went through. No man could even go through what He went through and complete it. But He completed it. Why? Because His love never fails. It never runs out on us. And He knew that it's what it took for us to receive His love, to be the complete package. And so, my encouragement is this. We all go through different trials in our life. We go through different situations where things get tough. And we're put through trials. But none of us have gone through what Christ went through. And that same Spirit that lives in Christ lives in us as well. So just remember that if you're going through a battle right now, you're going through something really, really difficult, He didn't run out on us, and He never will. Amen?
does it sound like when we sing heaven songs? What does it feel like when heaven's all around? What does it look like when God comes down? Let it come. Let it come. Oh, this is what it sounds like when we sing heaven songs. And this is what it looks like when heaven's all around. And this is what it feels like when God comes down. Let it come. What it sounds like when we sing heaven's song. Oh, this is what it feels like when God's all around. And this is what it looks like when God comes down. So let Him come.
Let Him come.
Let Him come.
You know, so many times we get so caught up in what we're going through or what we're dealing with that we forget to focus on what our life is really all about, and that's praising Jesus. Sometimes we focus on the circumstances that we're in and that muck and that mire, and it seems like there's no way out, and we're crying, God, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering? Why am I having such a hard time? Why am I thinking that? Why am I struggling? We focus on ourselves instead of putting our focus on the King, the one who laid down His life for you. In our weakness, He is made strong. When we humble ourselves and say, okay, God, it's all about You. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going through today. I'm not going to worry about what's happening after church. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday. But I'm here to worship You and to press into You and love on You. Then all your circumstances are just going to seem so minuscule, and He's going to take care of them. When you press into Him, He's going to take care of those things instead of us crying out, God, I need help. I need this. So I encourage you today as we sing another song or we lift up the next song, if you're going through it, if you're struggling, you press into Him and you love on Him, and He's going to take care of whatever circumstance you're going through.
the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy.
Deep cries out to deep. you know, God's love just never seems to stop amazing me personally. I know I've been struggling with coming up here for the past few songs, and I just really felt like I had to share what the Lord's been doing in me, and how I sometimes tend to get in the way of things. The Lord has been doing an amazing work breaking stubbornness and selfishness and a lot of other things out of my heart. And I'm grateful for it, and I appreciate it so much. And His love for me amazes me, because I so don't deserve that, but only by the blood of Jesus do I get to receive that. And this morning, when Tanya and I woke up, we had a little disagreement on something small, and it's so silly, really. So it was just a little attitude and miscommunication, and but then my stubbornness just totally came in and like just shut me down. And I tend to do that when that happens, and I just don't want to open up, and I just have a real hard time just being around people, really. And the Lord just been kind of really babying me and showing me, like, hey, it's not just about you and your feelings, and, you know, I've overcome everything. And even this little tiny thing that you're dealing with, it seems like it's such a big deal. You know, just look at me. Just praise me. Like, love me. I love you. And the song, I don't remember how many songs back, but, you know, just, you know, He created everything. And that those words just did something in me. You can say things and you can hear things, but until it really sinks in your heart is when that real meaning comes out. Because, I mean, just take a look around and see how difficult would it be, and how purposeful would you have to be to know everybody's name in here? There's not a whole lot of people, but to know everybody's name, you've got to be pretty purposeful. The Lord knows all of us. He knows the hairs on our head. He loves each of us individually, has drawn us all to Him in His own unique way, for each one of us to respond and to come to Him. And it's not that He loves us as a group, it's individually. And that is just so crazy, because He made everything, but He takes the time to know each of us. And He just loves us so much, He doesn't want us to be caught up in ourselves and struggling with chains or bondages or anything to hold us back from Him. He has a love for us, it's so great, it'll overcome anything. Even as I sat in that chair with my head down, I just wanted a do not disturb sign over my head. But the Lord just was so graceful to just still, you know, just deliver His peace into me and His grace and His love, and broke me out of my stubbornness, because I didn't want to talk to anybody when I first got here. Honestly, I wanted to sit here and just praise the Lord and just be in His presence. But the Lord is just so good that for that little bit of attitude, that little bit of miscommunication that we had this morning, it wasn't even anything bad. I just was a little sensitive and took it out of proportion. So Tanya, I'm sorry. But it was just, the Lord is just so good, and, you know, and it's just really just handing things over to Him, regardless of what it is. His love will overcome, and He will deliver you from whatever it is that you ask Him for. Just seek Him and praise Him and just realize and know that He loves you. And that is like the truth. It's a promise in His word. So thank you.
Love transparency. Seems like the more we're transparent, we open up our hearts with each other, expose our weaknesses, our inconsistencies, God is able to heal that in us. He's able to bring a restoration. A few weeks ago, the Lord humbled me, and I had to share a similar experience. But I can tell you through that, and it wasn't easy. Through that, Pastor Gay and my relationship has grown even stronger, even more in love. We've kidded each other, but how can we be any more in love? It's like, it's amazing how God can take you from love to love. So I'm so thankful for all of your obedience when you get up here and share. And I know that there's more out there that are being stirred by the Holy Spirit. And so just know that you're among family. And it may be your testimony, teaching time now, maybe what you share that sends us into the next level in God. You never know. Could be your word. Or it could be just your entering into worship. Just you, that moment, saying, okay, I'm going to leave that. And you enter into worship. All of a sudden, a chorus starts in this place that attracts heaven, and the presence of God fills this house. You're saying, what, me? Me worshiping? Yes. Yes. When there's a unity of faith, when there's a commonness in the Spirit, it's amazing what God will do. Praise the Lord. Well, could the children please come up? Impact. That includes you. Of course, you're not children, Impact. I know that. You're teens, young adults, legends in your own mind. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. Whoa. What a great group. Are you guys ready to go down and learn? Ready to go down and receive and be blessed? Well, before we go down, we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray for Pastor Josh and his family. He's in South Dakota. He's been in there now, been there for a little over a week now. Missing him, and his grandfather is passing away, and so he's there encouraging his family. But let's just pray that God would be with him and just allow him to share God's love and just allow whatever God wants to accomplish to take place there. Will you guys pray with me as we pray? All right. Father, we pray for Josh right now, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just strengthen our brother. God, we pray that you would just continue to open up doors, Lord, of opportunity to share you, to share your love. God, I pray for words of knowledge and words of wisdom and discernment, Lord, and that, God, that you would just allow, Lord, whatever everything that you want to have accomplished, Lord, while he's back there, Lord, accomplished. Bless Leslie, Lord, as she's there as well. Let her, Lord, feel, Lord, a connection, Lord, with her family, Lord, like she's never sensed before, God, where she too, God, can be that light, Lord, shining in darkness. So we just thank you for them, Lord, and we bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor Gay did not do all the announcements. She left the tough one for me. Work day next Saturday. Yay! There's one person there. It's like, no, we have a work day here planned next Saturday, and there was a young man who did a lot of outside work, so there's not going to be as much outside work. We can, you know, straighten it up and make it look perfect, but I'm thinking we're going to try to do some painting. So wear your paint clothes. If you are you know, good at construction and stuff, and you see something that needs to be done, and you're like, boy, that's been like that a long time, Pastor. Can we take care of that? Just, you know, call me this week, and we can schedule it. But we have a sign-up sheet, and I think it starts at 9 a.m., right? Yeah, 9 to 1. So I'm going to go ahead and start it right here. So fill your name in there if you feel like working. You don't have to. Many hands make light work. Yep, that's probably been abused around that saying. We use it all the time. Praise the Lord. I think I'll be up here today. Oh, God is so good. Amen. Well, last week, I'm still reeling from the message the Lord allowed me to share, and I'm not sharing that again today, but I will say this, that I think over the next few weeks, months, that more revelation will come out of that. I'm processing it, because it was such a, you know, instant word that came. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it basically talking about Moses in the burning bush and how the Lord revealed to me and to us during that time that he was communicating about the burning bush, and how I've always seen it, again, that Moses was the one being communicated, and I always put myself in Moses' place, never the burning bush. But just know that God wants to burn in us, and he wants to burn hot in us. But today we're going to go on a different journey. So if you would, with me, please turn to Matthew chapter 27, and we will start at verse 15. We're actually going to go through all four Gospels today, because I think to get this picture that the Lord's been showing me, we're going to need to go to each Gospel. So a little bit of reading, then it will all hopefully come together. But we'll start in Matthew, and again, verse 15. It says here, in a New King James is what I'm reading, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two of you do you want me to release to you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' Then the governor said, 'Why, what evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and our children.'" Oh, "and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." So in your Bibles, now let's turn to Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 6. "Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. There was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels, and they had committed murder in the rebellion.
When the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he has always done for them, but Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd, so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with whom you called the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. And now, Luke 23, starting at verse 16. "I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city, and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then they said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, whom for the rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And one more, John chapter 18, just verse 39, chapter 18, verse 39 and 40. "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is alive, that it isn't just letters on pages, Lord, that we just use our own mind to try to figure out, Lord, but Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, you reveal the truth of your word. And Father, today I pray that the truth of this parable, so to speak, that you have showing us the depths of truly what it means, God, that I pray, God, that this story, Lord, would have the revelation go deep into our hearts that you want for it today. Lord, I want it to change us. I want it to transform us. I want it to see, Lord, how amazing you are and how amazing your love is and how much you have planned, God, for the sacrifice of your Son for us, how much that was in your heart from the very foundations of the earth, and how you, through that, Lord, redeemed us, your children. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that all of our hearts would be so full of truth and of your love today, God, that it would overflow into others' lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, where I started this is the scene at Pilate's judgment seat. Jesus had been brought to him after a long night for Jesus, praying most of the night, and then being betrayed in the middle of the night, and led away with basically a whole guard and being treated just like a criminal. After he was, you know, brought to a false trial, nobody could make accusations against him that would match. Finally, the high priest says, are you the Messiah?" And Jesus, of course, not lying, says, "I am." And with that is the reason why he is sent to Pilate. And Pilate knows that Jesus is there because of the chief priests and the religious leaders' envy, because Jesus had followers. And he had more followers than them, I think. And they were mad. And he would teach things that did not match with what they had been learning all the years that they've been taught. And they were leaders. And so how could this guy, who wasn't a leader like them, come and tell them, you know, what's what? And so Jesus was now in a state of where he had to, so to speak, defend himself before Pilate. And he doesn't do that. He just remains silent. Because Jesus' whole reason for coming was to die. He doesn't say anything to defend himself. He just communicates to Pilate, whatever you have to do, basically do. And it then comes to the point where Pilate doesn't want to have to kill Jesus. His wife, as we heard, said, "Don't touch this man. I had a bad dream. I've suffered with dreams through the night. Don't touch him. Do not mess with him." And Pilate, you know, is wanting to release Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is, I'm sure, again, being very quiet, being very still. The crowd is going crazy because the religious leaders are out there agitating them. And this is pretty much the scene that all of us have probably had read to us or read in the Word and pictured all of this. Nothing's changed. But today, because of a revelation that I've been given about just a name, I see something potentially that could be happening here. Doesn't say it completely in the Word. I'm going to take some liberties today. I don't usually take liberties, but I think these liberties are just. And if you want to come up to me afterwards and say, "I don't think it happened like that," well, be more than welcome. But what I believe was taking place here, because it makes sense to me, I've always thought Barabbas was in a prison someplace hidden. And that for some reason, the priest knew that he was there, and that's who they wanted. But I think something else is going on here. You don't get it like completely elaborated, but it makes sense with what takes place. I believe that, as it says there, is that he was chained with robbers. Now, Barabbas was a murderer. And Barabbas, I believe, was guilty of a serious crime. And I believe that Barabbas was headed for crucifixion. Doesn't say that, but I believe he was, because he was a murderer. And I just want to submit to you that I think maybe this happened, that you have Barabbas standing here chained with his friends, waiting to be crucified, while the scene right now with Jesus is taking place. Barabbas is here, and he's waiting to be crucified with his two thieving friends. Are you getting the picture? So Barabbas is here waiting to be crucified, very guilty of what he's done. And the crowd, being agitated by the priests, see Barabbas. There is a custom now that's been set. You can't even identify when the custom started, but it's amazing that it's a custom that was set by the Romans for Passover. And that was that on Passover, someone could be released. That custom had to be there for this scene to take place. That somehow, some way, in the scheme of things, in the plan of God, he made it so that on this day, someone could be released. Someone could go free. He's very happy. Great! Guess what? It's customary today. Guys, he's probably reminding them instead of them reminding him. Guys, guess what? Someone can be released today. I can release Jesus to you. He doesn't have to pay for the crime that he didn't even commit. No, 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 no. They were not going to have it. The Hebrew leaders, the Jewish leaders, go around there and getting the people to say, "Look, Barabbas is up there. We want Barabbas. Say we want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus." I know I'm taking liberty here. We want Barabbas. Now, folks, this is the kingpin right here. Barabbas. The name Barabbas I've read it for years. I've heard different names, the son of the devil, all these different things. Barabbas means son of the Father. Bar Abba. It's the only other place in Scripture where you see Abba being used in a word, other than when we talk about Abba Father. Son of the Father. So this is what's taking place, folks. Jesus, guiltless, spotless lamb, condemned to death, Barabbas, is standing there guilty, chained with his friends. And guess what? The crowd asks for the Son of the Father to be released. So this is what happens. He can't get them to stop. He says, no, 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 what do you want me to do with Jesus? What do you want me to do with Jesus? I'll scourge him. I'll let him go after that. No, we want him crucified. We want him crucified. Barabbas, guilty, thieving murderer. Then what takes place? He's unchained. I'm sure his friends are like, what? What about me? His friends are then carted off to be crucified, I believe. Jesus is scourged, and then he goes to the cross as well. See, you don't quite get it all yet. This is what's taking place. Is by God's divine plan, but it's like a prophetic plays being put out. That the Son of the Father, his name, Son of the Father, was released. Before Jesus went to the cross, the atoning work of the cross started being activated. Barabbas, the Son of the Father, a child of God, didn't know it, was released from his crimes. And they were bad. Murder. You know, they accused Jesus of basically creating a riotous environment, of being someone who would turn the hearts of the people away. That was one of the things that Barabbas was known for. So the things they accused Jesus for was on Barabbas. Do you guys see that this is what Jesus did for us? We are sons of the Father. We are children of God. I believe even before we were knowing that we were children of God, God knew we were his. And Jesus took our place, folks, so that we could then have the full identity as Son of the Father. Do you hear this? Holy Spirit, help. Let this go deep in our hearts. Let this go deep in our hearts that we are your children. And Lord, that just as you delivered and saved Barabbas that day, even though it looked like the crowd and the high priests and the Jewish leaders were causing it to happen, Lord, you delivered Barabbas that day so that we can know, Lord, that we are set free as well. So that our crimes, our guilt, what we should be deserving, Lord, doesn't happen to us. See, Barabbas, I believe, should have been hanging between those thieves. Don't you think? No. We should have been hanging between those two thieves. Just as Barabbas deserved everything that he was going to get, folks, we deserved everything we were going to get. Through our own mistakes, faults, sins, whatever you want to call them, not listening to God, going our own ways, doing our own thing, we deserved what we were going to get. But Jesus, oh, thank you, Father, the atoning Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth, who removes the sins of us when he is made alive in our hearts. I just wonder what Barabbas' life was like after that. I wonder if that plagued him. Seeing a righteous, holy, anointed man of God. You know he had to have known who Jesus was by that time. You know he had to have heard the story of him raising Lazarus from the dead. You know he had to have heard him when he brought that young man who was a son of a widow, dead, back to life. The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, there was testimony after testimony of probably what Jesus had done. And all out of love and living a righteous life. And knowing that he took your place. I wonder what he thought. I wonder if he lived life differently after that. We don't have any record of it. All we hear is that he's released to them, it says. I don't know, maybe even that day he was standing there with the crowd then. Yes, crucify him. Going in and chiming with them because of the wildness going on. But I wonder when he laid down that night in bed, what he was thinking. What was that all about? I wonder if God the Father said, what is your name? Like he does to all of us. You know, he kind of just reminds us all the time of how much he loves us. Hopefully he's doing that for you because he's saying it. Boy, he's blasting it loud that he loves us. You have to have like your ears plugged or your heart plugged or something because God is releasing his love right now. It's being poured out on the earth like never before. And with that comes his grace and his peace. His anointing that breaks the yoke, the chains off our lives. We don't have to live the same way that we lived before. See, Barabbas, son. And it's Abba. You don't see anybody saying it. It really means son of daddy. That's a better translation for the word Abba. Son of daddy. We are the sons and daughters of daddy. And just as Barabbas was spared and delivered and set free that day, you in like manner are spared and delivered and set free. Now we have the choice when we lay in our beds at night. Why? What's it all mean? Who am I, Lord? What part do I play in this beautiful story still? Because it's still being written. Book's not done. I know Acts seems to end, but it doesn't really end. We're still the book of Acts. You realize that? We are still the book of Acts. We're still living out what started on the day of Pentecost. And how do we consider the high price that was paid? How do we consider something that took place that makes no sense? Because it didn't make any sense. How a murderer, a thief, somebody who deserved punishment, that maybe that day the person whom he murdered, family was there. What is going on? Just start thinking about what's going. He just got released. And what, Jesus is going to take his place? Makes no sense. And it makes no sense that Jesus takes our place, folks. We as Christians start taking it for granted. Oh yeah, Jesus saved my soul. Don't think of it ever like that. He saved our souls. He paid a high price. Deity left his throne to do it. God left his angelic, you know, hosts of angels, you know, that he's used to, and God the Father, and all the things that declared who he was to be in a state of a humble man. And he was humble. You could say, you know, well, he did all this stuff. Sure looked like he was real popular and all this stuff. He did it out of pure humility. Pure surrender to the Father. I mean, just think of that night when he says, Father, if there's any other way. Talking to somebody the other day, and he's saying, is there a plan B? Because if there's a plan B, tell me about it now. Because plan A is looking really rough. That's what he's saying. Plan A, Father, is going to be hard. Let this cup pass from me if possible. Don't let me have to do this. Some people say, well, I mean, you know, yeah, it's going to be hard for him to be crucified. It's going to be hard for him to have those whippings, those lacerations. You've seen the Passion of the Christ, blood spilling, you know, all over the place. You know, his body just being shreds. That's going to be really hard. You know, it wasn't, I believe, that was the hardest for him. I think the hardest for him was knowing for a moment in time, God the Father would turn his back on him. God the Father could not look at Jesus because of what he became. In a moment on the cross, he becomes Barabbas. He not only replaces Barabbas, but in a way he becomes Barabbas, because the guilt and the shame and every single act that Barabbas did is on that cross. Because now Barabbas is not only free physically, Barabbas has the ability to be free spiritually, like you and I. The Son of the Father, every single sin he committed was laid upon Jesus Christ. And God the Father could not look at his Son for that moment because he could have no connection with sin. So for a moment in time, he had to be totally separated from the love of God that he never had experienced before. The love of God that you and I so freely get now was given to us when we received Jesus, was taken from him for a moment. I don't know how long he was without it. I don't know if it was some of those times that he was literally in hell, if he was still without the... I don't know. We'll only find that out someday in heaven if we need to. But I'm here to tell you that was what he didn't want to have to take. Because he knew the love of the Father. He knew Holy Spirit. He knew all of that. And he did not want to lose that. But he was willing, says, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Not just the pain of the cross, the separation of God from his life for a moment. So that what? He endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God. The joy that was set before him, folks, was so that you and I can now freely receive that love. So that Barabbas, the Son of the Father, could truly be now a Son of the Father. Not just in name, but in true life. And you and I, now not in just name are we Christians, we are sons and daughters of the Father. So in a way, we all have the name Barabbas now. Because we're all, in a way, sons. I don't know how that works. And in all the way, I always like to say this too, guys, we're brides. So, sons and brides. So that's, some people could hear this and say, boy, those people they're mixed up, you know. That's foolishness. Well, the things of God are foolishness to the carnal mind. Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's salvation. It's eternal life. It's life. And I am so thankful that God not only on that day had Jesus crucified, but that he released the Son of the Father. So that we too could see today how valuable we are to the Father. Do you guys see that? Isn't God amazing? That he'd have a society declare a act who knows how long before that someone on Passover would be released. It was no other feast. It was Passover they chose to have it happen. And what does Passover represent? The day that sins are destroyed. They wanted to destroy Jesus and release Barabbas, it says. I think that's how it says it in Matthew. They wanted to completely crush him. That's what it's saying. They didn't want to just kill him. They wanted to obliterate him. They wanted him gone. They wanted it so that there was no sign of him. That's what that word is saying. That's how much they hated him. And why did they hate him that much? Because he loved that much. His love brought out the worst in them. And sometimes God's love to us, when we don't receive it and we don't look at it like it is, can bring out the worst in us. Have you ever been around another brother or sister and you see them and they're getting all their act together, they're doing everything they need to do, and you get around them and you're just like, oh man. It's like you don't want to necessarily destroy them, but I mean they start all of a sudden making you examine yourself, examine your life, because they're living it differently. Well, that's what Jesus did in like, yeah, that's like him, you know, exponentially. That's the way he lived. So that's what the Lord wants to say today. That we, just as Barabbas, sons of the Father, daughters of the Father, I'll add daughters in there because it's hard for some of us to wrap sons, have had not only our sins forgiven, but had the love of God and the callings of God and the plan of God and all those things restored to us because Jesus, the spotless righteous Lamb, gave it all, didn't hold anything back. So I just pray that as we enter into, you know, resurrection time, I know some like call it Easter, but I like to call it resurrection time because it's really what it is. It's Jesus' resurrection. It's death, burial, and resurrection. As we enter into that time, remember Barabbas. Remember this thieving, murderous man who escaped what he was due because of, I believe, God's grace. Some would say, well, it was just the crowd. No, I believe it was God's grace. I believe it was a demonstration of how much God loves us. And maybe it's been kind of hidden to this day. I've read quite a few commentaries. All the commentaries basically miss this fact of what his name was. Son of the Father, son of Daddy. Well, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. And Holy Spirit, I know that you are the one that brings results. So just let that word go deep in our hearts. Let it be planted deep inside of us. Let it produce fruit, God. Fruit, Lord, that would remain in our lives. Let it bring transformation. Let it bring change, God, and let us, Lord, rejoice, God, in what you've done for us. Just as Barabbas was released that day and he didn't deserve it, we've been released, Lord. And God, let us now realize the high price that's been paid for us and live lives worthy of that price. Let us be, Lord, examples, Lord, of who you are now, God. Not examples of who we used to be. We've left that old life behind. Let us be examples of you, Lord. And Lord, you will get the glory. You'll get the honor and the praise. Your name will be exalted. And Lord, your kingdom will go forth in power, in love, in great demonstration. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a testimony. Where's Sammy? Where'd he go? There he is. Oh, Harrison, yes. And we have Harrison in the house. Is he here or is he downstairs? He's here. Okay. We'll see him another time. Let me get you a mic. This is Sammy, and he has a great testimony, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to come in and thank everybody that's been on the little prayer team that you guys signed up for. I know that everywhere I've ever been to church or any Christians I know, they understand that being close to God, they have a special power. And I know that when more people that are close to God join together, that power is more great and much greater. And so we signed up for that prayer team, and we always get requests, and we help pray and everything like that. And we also sent a request for ourselves. My family had some really heavy burdens, and my stepfather just passed away. I also had some financial obligations that I needed to meet, and me and my girlfriend are sharing an apartment together, and she has a son, and we didn't make any income for more than a month. You know, I was looking for a job for 3 months at least. I was really dedicated to it, and I kept praying. We always pray over our meals. We pray every night. I felt a closeness to God, but I didn't feel like our burdens were being taken care of in the physical sense. I held on to them. I didn't let Jesus have them. And finally I started changing the way I was thinking, saying that, you know, I need to let it go in my heart. And I remember hearing that if you pray for something, you know, ask and you shall receive. So I prayed for it. We were praying and nothing was happening. And I finally figured that I have received this gift and I'm going to let my burdens go and just trust that it's going to happen. And, you know, the next day, my girlfriend got a call. She got a good job. And that same day that she was confirmed for a new job, a guy called me for a job the same day. So we both got jobs, and my family is becoming closer to God. And my girlfriend also has a friend that's terminally ill, and she wasn't very close to God. But, you know, my girlfriend kept talking to her about God and saying, you need to believe, you need to have faith. And she just got a text from her saying that I've been watching videos on YouTube for church and the Bible, and it's been helping me out, and I'm starting to pray more. And, you know, we just feel really blessed that everything that your team has done for us, and that, you know, our sacrifices that we've made and everything that we've done to better ourselves, that Jesus really did come through and he really helped us and saved us. I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hang on a second. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for Sammy, God, and I pray, God, what you've started, Lord, in this man, God, that you would continue to work it, Lord, for your glory. Lord, we pray, God, that as they've received, Lord, physical jobs, Lord, I pray, God, that they would just receive, Lord, the work and the call, Lord, from heaven, God, that you have for him, Lord, and for Jenny, Lord, that you would just allow them, God, to both be raised up, Lord, for your glory. God, that you would just bring, Lord, your love, God, into their lives like never before, that your perfect love would cast out any fear, Lord, and any past pain. And we just pray for full restoration now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you, brother. Well, praise the Lord. Well, blessings to you all. Have a great day, and go shine bright.